So you can see it in that time to change, but that's okay. Here amongst family.
Can I spread the wine? Gonna do two things now. Gonna hand out the bread and wine, and then celebrate the most stable disclosing for the flag.
Hannah wants to share something about the Olympic Games.
You wanna help your mom?
Bill Johnson's wife, who runs Bethel Church, had a prophecy before the Olympic Games, I don't know how many months or years before, that she said that revival will come to England when the bells are rung all over England and the tide will turn, and it has to start, revival has to start in England, because England has every country, every nation, and then it will go out of England like a domino effect. And at the Olympics, she knew nothing about what was prepared at the Olympic Games, and at the Olympic Games, the bells were rung all over England and down the Thames, and the Thames barrier was shut off so that the tides couldn't change, so that the boats were all level, and the tide actually turned at the wrong time. So I just shared that with Fred and Lucille earlier on, because it seems to be, you know, everywhere. It's happening everywhere.
Okay, so what Hannah's saying is that our coming together and the timing of it is certainly providential. It's fortuitous. And so we're going to break bread now. The Paralympics is still on. I'll be attending the finals. I'll be hanging around a couple of days. We've got a couple of guys from the church who've been participating in the Olympics and now in the Paralympics. So Lucille was meant to go with me, but she's got a sick baby at home. You know, he's almost 18, but you know how these things work. He really needs his mother, so she's going to go. He wasn't well when we came, I must confess. Then just one other thing. Somebody just talked to us about some of the things Lucille shared about the lady who was an adherent of the Hebrew Roots movement and had come back to church. The story is we used to... Lucille and I have been supporting ministry to Jewish people before we came together, me since 1980 and she from before that. And we've been financially supporting the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem for many years, and we've visited Israel twice lately. But where we come from, I can only speak for where we come from, I know it's true for America, when it comes to ministry to Jewish people, unfortunately so that it has become a wide open door for the devil, and he has wreaked incredible havoc. And I can't go into the detail, but as Lucille shared, our very good friends, they were very solid Christians. The man's just a natural evangelist. They did great work for the Lord, led so many people to the Lord. And it's not like they've turned away from Christ. They're now evangelists for an antichrist message. They proclaim that Christ is an imposter, he's the Greek god Zeus, and a lot of stuff, and they actively promote and distribute movies like Zeitgeist that exposes Christ as an imposter. So it's quite serious. So these are the people who are the leaders in a very, very strong Hebraic Root movement. I've had to go from place to place to help fraternities in town, ministers' fraternals, that are battling with people that are tearing the New Testament from Scripture, denouncing Christ, and declaring that the church is a pagan institution. So, with regard to our friends in the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, for instance, very, very good people, but none of them go to church, none of them believe in church, and now it's come to the place where they question the Pauline writings and Pauline apostolic authority and most of the New Testament, and especially the epistles. So there's a lot of very, very serious error that's crept in there. So having looked at the situation and prayed about what our response should be, I have put back home, I put a temporary blanket shutdown on anything relating to Hebrew roots or Jewish ministry. So we don't celebrate the festivals anymore. We used to do Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. It was really blessed. It was really of the Lord. I can tell you that. We used to invite the leaders of the Jewish community in Cape Town and nationally over, and we used to minister to them and take up a massive offering for them, give it to them. So, you know, all that is fine. But what has happened is that there's a breach now. There's a demonic breach, and spirits of error have just been flooding into the church. I can tell you of so many families that have been split up, marriages that have been split up, because this deceiving spirit especially takes a hold of women. And they just go off the deep end. They reject their husbands and their kids. Everybody wouldn't get with the program. We've lost a great deal of friends. And the leader of ICEJ in South Africa, in fact, he's a friend of ours, lives just down the road from us. He hasn't been going to church for like 20 years. And like I was saying to our church, the problem with that is not like he doesn't go to church or his colleagues don't go to church, but the kids don't serve the Lord at all. I mean, they are as sinful as comes, you know, just godless people. So we have a little problem there in that by their fruit you will know them. So there's something wrong there. So we have put that on hold, and that brings me to what we are now. If a situation persists where a Shabbat meal is seen as a replacement for the command Christ gave us, then we have a problem. Because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, you know. So there are two things that I'm trusting God to bring home, and that is the importance of the Great Commission, the fact that Christ died, shed his blood, so that all nations can come to salvation in and through him. And any enrichment that we can get from our Hebrew past, spiritually, that is an add-on, but it's not central to the gospel, and it's very important that we understand that. There's nothing salvific or redemptive about a connection or a commitment to Israel and the Jewish people. And that for me is absolutely beyond contention, because that's the reason why Christ died and was crucified, because he dared to offer salvation to the rest of the world, and the Jewish community still won't believe him for it, forgive him for that, you know. And so the Jewish community is very special. We owe them a great debt. Bible is very clear on that. We are very grateful to them. We've been called to minister to them. We are committed, on principle, committed to ministry to them. So nothing of that changes, okay? But the essence of the gospel has to be protected, and the mission of Christ on earth has to remain focal. We cannot compromise from that. So our commitment to Israel is to help any ministry or anybody who wants to fulfill God's desire for Israel, that they be saved. The Apostle Paul says, my heart's desire for Israel is that they be saved, is that they be reconciled to their Messiah. So in that sense, we are really, really committed to them. Okay? But on the other hand, it is true, especially for the church in America, that there are a lot of Christians that have forsaken Christ and the vision and the mission that he's called us to. They don't walk in the Spirit, and they're being deceived by their politicians in Israel. I mean, I've been to the conference and the meeting, calls with Mossad agents, and my personal gripe is that I so want the Christian leaders in Israel that are really ministering to Israel just to stand up to the government and say, we will continue to minister to you and bless you and help you on condition that you do justice to our brothers and our sisters that are Jews in Israel. Because Israel discriminates against Messianic Jews as much as the Arabs do, and sometimes even more so. And I know that through friends and colleagues that we have in ministry, Jewish friends in Jerusalem, in Israel. They go through a very, very hard time. And in fact, you can check YouTube. They've got the, if you, John Myers, just Google John Myers and follow the links, and you'll come across their testimonies that they share with the world about the Torah time that they're going through in Israel because of their faith in the Messiah. So, you know, we'd really like to see balance, and we'd like to see justice. And I'm offended by the fact that our brothers that are committed to the salvation of the Jews, when they do come to salvation, don't support them and don't stand up for them when they have the right to, and they've got access to the halls of power. So, just in short, as to where my heart is at, so it's a situation that is in suspension at the moment. We're not turning away from anything that we believed, any conviction we had concerning our call and the role of Israel, none of that. You know, I still believe that, that South Africa needs to support Israel politically, England needs to, and they renege on their commitments at their peril. All that is true. Those are historical facts. We don't have problems with that. But at the same time, there's a very real and present danger in terms of just the integrity of the gospel as we've received it. And it's the apostolic doctrines. And my gravest concern is that the adherents of ministry to Israel are, to some degree, not all of them completely, but at least to some degree, rejecting apostolic teaching. And we need to watch against that. And what it means for us people is that God may call you and me to minister into a lot of areas. And I'm the first one to support people who feel a distinct calling to minister to Israel. But it's the same commitment I give people that are called to minister to Tibet. Or to minister to the Mexicans. God so loved the world. God does not love a Jewish man more than he loves me. Hebrew culture has a lot to offer us, but it needs redemption. It's always needed redemption. Our biblical roots are clear for all to see, and our Jewish brothers really help us to dig into it. We had a situation at the conference last year. We invited a Jewish brother to speak at the conference, and we had a little bit of a situation. Basile invited an Arabic brother who was also speaking at the conference to live with us, along with the Jewish brother, two of them in our house, and the Jewish brother had a problem with being in the house, our house, with a Palestinian. And it became really, really tense. And the Arabic brother was, and we put them at the two ends of the house, and the Arabic brother was going across wanting conciliation. And the Jewish brother in principle wouldn't. And this is the brother who claimed to be to have been discipled by Derek Prince. So, you know, it was just a microcosmic little situation, but it was just interesting for us, you know. So much so that I am not in a position to invite that Jewish brother back. Because what was clear is that he's not committed to the body of Christ, and he's certainly not committed to the ideals of Christ, to see reconciliation through the Holy Spirit. So we trust God to just give us wisdom and grace. So pray for me, pray for us in this matter. But to come back to what Lucila said, the fact that this lady came around to be reconciled to us is to us a sign, because of the people that are committed to this ministry, I must tell you, I've found them to be the most incorrigible, most unteachable, most arrogant people I've ever met in my life. I'm not even talking about spiritual people I met in my life, just plain arrogant people, you know. And so this lady left with a huff and declared me a heretic because I wouldn't agree with her doctrinally, you know. But now she's come back and repented, and we're going to receive her. But to come back to where we are, people, let's focus on the task at hand. For us in this ministry, you may have a commitment to ministries outside, but your priority focus must also be, must always be the house. That's the message of the closed circle. You know, I can care for all the kids of this world in the natural, but my priority are my own kids first. David may have a heart for all the kids in church, but not at the expense of his own kids. That's just divine order. So the closed circle speaks about divine order. So, you know, regardless of what we committed to and involved in outside, that never happens at the expense of the priority commitment to the house. And it's something that God once instituted throughout the body of Christ. There's just so much chaos and a lack of divine order in the body of Christ, it's scary. You know, and the Holy Spirit will not be released, the power of God will not begin to flow until we just understand those things. So, as we break bread now, I want us to do that in the prayer that God will bring divine order into our hearts. David prayed, God, unite my heart to fear your name. There's so much ambivalence, division in our own hearts, undecided conviction, hesitation, procrastination, all that stuff, and God wants to remove that. You know, all of us must have a clear-minded focus as to what does God want from me here and now. And you must follow that with the utmost peace, humility, and respect for everybody else and their convictions, individually and us as a church. And then secondly, as we were sharing last night, trust God to bring us, firstly, to critical mass and momentum so that we can play our ordained role for God's plan in England, and then at the same time trust God to do what he's wanting to do in England, okay? In that order. Let's stand. Thank you, David. Father, we thank you for the broken body of Christ. I need it there. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. And God, we want to give thanks for an amazing time we could have had together. Thank you, Lord, for the just incredible people that you've assembled here. Thank you that you've made it possible for us to be able to take time out to be here together. And God, we just want to consecrate this time to you. God, you've said a lot of things to us, Lord, and you know it's not just about meetings and sermons. There's been so much fellowship, Lord, so much caring and sharing, so much impartation, Lord, so many opportunities for your Spirit to sow seeds, divine seeds of destiny and your purpose into our hearts and our lives. And Father, we just want to humbly acknowledge that now and by thanksgiving receive that. And so we give you thanks. We give you thanks for every revelation, every exhortation, every reminder, Father, and especially every awakening that you've started to do in our hearts, Father. And I thank you especially, Lord, for the very strong work of restoration that you've done. Even as Jessica shared last night, Lord, the surge of restoration, Lord, that many of us, even Lucille and I, are experiencing as we are here right now, Lord, as we look back over 20 years and it feels like it did right in the beginning, Lord, just so vibrant and so pregnant with purpose. And we bless you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're putting us in touch, Lord, with the first love dynamic that we can experience here. And so, Lord, it is all from you. It's because of you. But, Lord, it's for you and it's to you. So we dedicate, we consecrate everything to you. And we ask that you be glorified. And more than anything else, as we eat together now, as we drink together, God, we look to you to do what only you can do. Send your glory that makes us one, your glory that binds us together, Lord, your glory that you said would arise upon us, Lord, that will cause Gentiles to come to your light and nations to the brightness of our rising. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that none of our efforts, Lord, will bring conciliation, reconciliation between us as individuals, of your church as a whole, but Lord, your glory can. And so we ask for that same glory that bonds you with the Father and you with the Spirit, that same glory we invite now to abide with us, Lord, and rest upon us. We pray glory upon this house. We pray glory upon every home represented here. Father God, even those of us who are far away from our homes physically, Lord, we pray for glory in our homes from afar afield as China and Sri Lanka and wherever, Lord. We pray glory upon our homes, Lord. Rest there. We thank you for the salvation and the healing that your glory brings. And God, we pray for the houses, the spiritual homes in this nation. We pray glory upon every house, Lord. Every movement in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Let's drink together. And Father, I especially want to pray for our friends here in England, Father, who don't come to church anymore, who aren't here, who should be here this weekend, Lord, because of the difficulties they have reconciling what they sense in their heart that you're saying to them concerning Israel. But we pray for them, Lord, and every other minister, Lord, that has leading by your Spirit, Lord, to focus in a specific way, in a specific area of ministry. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'd expose every lie of the evil one, especially when it comes to the Hebrew Roots movement, Father. Every antichrist spirit that is operating there, Lord, every spirit of error, doctrinal error that is at work there, I pray that you'd expose it. I pray that you'd expose the hearts of people that have turned from you, that are actually working against you. I pray that you expose the infiltrators from the powers of darkness that have infiltrated those ranks, Father, to sully the water that the sheep is meant to drink. And God, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit like you've started doing in Cape Town in some places, Lord, on those people when they meet together, Lord, for their Shabbat meals, where the Holy Spirit gets poured out and they get Spirit-filled, Lord, and their first love for Christ get restored, Lord, and the veils get lifted. But I pray, Father God, that especially, Lord, that veil that hangs over the eyes of the Hebrews still today when they read the scripture, Father God, that that veil would be lifted off your people. Some people have submitted to the veil again, Father. And we pray, Father God, that you would circumcise hearts once again. And we pray, Lord, that all of your servants will return to the church, will return to your fold, and find and take their place. And I pray, Father, that you would, by your glory, also bring conciliation and agreement here, Father, about the Lordship of Christ and Him being the Prince of Peace. And all God's people said, Amen. I just so want to take this opportunity to thank Yaku and Erna and David and Sally and the whole team. You worked so hard, Gibby and the guys with the music, and Jess and so many people. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for the sacrifice and the suffering to make it possible for Lucille to fly in and fly out like VIPs. It's just amazing. We really value it. We really appreciate it. And the Lord bless you for your efforts and your hard work.
And we'd also like to thank Fred and Lucille. We love you guys so much, and we so appreciate you taking time away from family, but you're with family. But we just give them a clap and let's praise God for them. Thank you. And I want to just, I want to commit on behalf of everybody that we will continue to pray for you and continue to support you in prayer. I just want to, specifically David has really worked hard around this camp, and Erna, we'll just praise God, thank you. And Erna and the team had got everything looking so beautiful, praise God, thank you guys. And Joe and Sally and everybody that was helping with the children's stuff. Praise God for that. Thanks, guys. Amen. Who did I forget? Surely a lot of people. But thanks, everybody, for making it an amazing weekend.